So let me start off with a question. I think I've got my mic on here. Let me start off with a question. How would you explain God or the idea of God to a child? How would you take the time to explain who God is to a little one who's in elementary school or preschool? How would you approach that? Many Christmases ago, there was a nativity set up at the front of a church, and a little boy came up and pointed at Jesus in the manger in that little nativity set, and he goes, "God, Jesus, God, Jesus, God, Jesus." It seemed that he was just a bit puzzled as to who this person was in the manger. He got all the elements right. He got that Jesus is God. That's a very important lesson to grasp. But he was still puzzled with how that worked. How would you explain God to a kid, to a little one? Would you start off by describing Jesus himself? Would you start off by saying, "Jesus is God"? All these miracles, the perfect life, would you start off by describing Jesus as God? Others of you might want to start off where the Bible starts off, talking about God being the creator of everything. Sometimes people like to start off by describing God as Father, Heavenly Father. Sometimes people want to start off describing God by all of the big words. He's omnipotent, all-powerful. He's omniscient, all-knowing. He's ever-present. He's all these things. Sometimes the simple words explain who God is. Sometimes we describe him as perfect in love and holiness. When describing who God is to a child, we are often describing things that even we as adults don't really comprehend. How would you do that? How would you describe God to a little kid? I start off with this brain teaser approach to Christmas because I think we should keep in mind that we are celebrating God coming into our world. Isaiah chapter 9, beginning of verse 6 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." These words, without knowing who Jesus is quite a conundrum. The child is born, but did the Son already exist before he was born so that he be our gift? These words about who Jesus is are complicated. That Jesus is the Son of God, born, but already existed. When Jesus is talking to the Pharisees about his own existence and he talks about Abraham, he mentions that he already existed during Abraham's day. And the Pharisees say, "How could you have already existed so long ago?" And he makes the reference to his deity, his being God, as the answer to their question. "Before Abraham was, I am." Jesus made clear that he was, in fact, already in existence, already present, already alive and functioning before Abraham ever walked the earth. When Pilate begins asking Jesus about whether he is the Messiah, the King of the Jews, he gives an incredibly polite answer, which is what you would expect to do for someone who was in charge and who was the ruler of that area. And Jesus' simple response is, "You have said so," which means Yes, that's correct. Jesus made claim to being the Messiah, the King of the Jews. And Pilate made sure that the whole community knew it because he had it posted above the cross for everyone to read. Jesus is making these incredible claims about who he is. And they are claims that we are still trying to understand as adults. That Jesus should be the Messiah, the King who would come, means we need to understand about him being our King, in charge of our lives. But one of the greatest testaments to Jesus being God incarnate, God in flesh, is something Jesus never even said out loud at all. Over and over again in Jesus' ministry, he is commanding nature to do what he says, to follow his orders, commanding the storms to be calm, commanding the winds to stop and the waves to stop, commanding bread and drink to multiply. His control over the physical world points to his deity, points to him being God incarnate. Many years ago, a woman named Emily Elliott was trying to write a song for Christmas. She wanted to write a song for children, and she wanted to help them understand that the baby Jesus was more than just a little human being. He was, in fact, God. So she pointed out that he left his crown and his throne above, to come down and be born in a place that had no room for him in Bethlehem. She points out that the heavens rang, that the angels sang around him, but on earth he lived in humility. She says that he came to set his people free, but they bore him to Calvary. We too need to remember the nature of the manger and the child who was in it. Luke 1:32 says that he is the Son of the Most High. Well, the Most High is God, and that's just a nice way of saying it. Matthew 1:23 says that he is God with us. This Jesus who we celebrate at Christmas left his throne above so that he could be placed in a manger below. The angels encircled him and sang his praise day after day, day and night, unending in heaven, so that he could be born surrounded by livestock. He was holy and perfect, and yet he is our sacrifice. The very end of Emily Elliott's song, at the conclusion of every single verse, she says these words: "Come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There's room in my heart for you." Jesus didn't come on earth so that he can be enthroned upon a physical throne. He didn't come to earth so that he could be simply placed in a manger and the stars shine above him. He came here so that he might be enthroned in our hearts. He came so that he might live within us
for all our days.
He left his throne above so that his presence might be known in us and through us all of our life. He left his throne above so that he could free us from all our sin, so that we could stand before God the Father as his own sons and daughters. He left his throne above so that he might live through all of us, and that he might bear us all the way into heaven. Every single person, every single one of us is born with this perfect spot within our lives, within our souls, where God alone fits and fills. Each one of us has this void, this God-shaped shape within us. And so much of our life is spent chasing after a hope, a desire, a dream to fill this empty spot. Disney would have you believe it's filled with true love. Commercials would have you believe that it's filled with something you can buy at Walmart. Your own desires and feelings might say that that spot can be filled by something else. But if you're not naming God as the thing that fills that spot, there will always be something empty. Always be something that you're longing for and desiring. Because it is shaped in the shape of God. There is room in your heart for him to be enthroned there. There is room in your heart for Jesus to come and fill every single vacant spot. And as long as we're chasing after something else and trying to fill that void in our hearts with something other than the Lord, we will continue to feel empty, incomplete, longing for something more. You have a spot in your heart shaped exactly so that Jesus fits right in there. And once he finds his home, once he finds that spot to live within your soul, the other things that you thought were so important become second or third or just fall off the entire list. If you're longing for something, if you're missing a piece in your life, have you started by putting Jesus in there? Have you started by accepting him as Lord and Savior? So many times we want Jesus to just be a small part of who we are. We only want him to be in charge of Sunday mornings, maybe. Maybe we only want him to be in charge of the things that we can't control, but everything we control, we want to be our own. If Jesus is going to be the Lord and Savior of our lives, then we give him mastery over every area. We let him control every aspect so that he's not just God on Sunday morning and he's not just God on Wednesday nights, or he's not just God whenever we happen to feel the need. We make him Lord over every day and every hour, every aspect and every piece, because it is only in that place that we find that void full. It is in that way that we find life and joy and freedom and hope. And you'll find that as you give him those aspects of your life, that he fills every part perfectly well. We all have a God-shaped void within us. And we will continue to long and continue to desire for something else until God finds that place within our hearts. He left his throne above so he might be enthroned within you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, our Savior, we are so glad that you left that throne above, that you chose to be humble and meek and live here a human life. But Lord, we acknowledge that you deserve so much more, that there's so many things more important than just the stories of your birth. Lord, we acknowledge that we have this space within us that is always longing for you. Lord, help us to have you be Lord and Savior, Lord and Master over every part of our lives. So it's not just today and this moment, but it includes tomorrow and the day after that. Not this moment, but the next hour, the next day, the next week. Lord, you deserve to be enthroned. And the place that we have to give you is the heart in which you may come to live. Lord Jesus, it is so hard sometimes for us to figure out how to explain who you are. But Lord, you have found a perfect place. So be enthroned within our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.